I would invite you now to hear and listen to these words from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, or Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Do you ever wonder why he's talking about two houses? I'm taking a moment here. We're going to do a little bit of a history quiz. Who was the first king of Israel?
Saul.
Who was the second? Saul. Who was the second king?
David.
Who was the third king?
Solomon.
Who's the fourth king? That's because after Solomon, the kingdom split. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is Israel. The southern kingdom is Judah. It's alphabetically, well, if you think that way, I-J. So that's why Jeremiah is hearing these words from God, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the northern kingdom, and the house of Judah, the southern kingdom. It will not be like a covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we are thankful for these words of Jeremiah, for their teaching and claim upon our lives, our daily living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you will give us a sense of peace, comfort, and rest, all from the activities, O God, of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. The old ways just weren't working. The old covenant, the old laws just weren't keeping the people on the straight path that God had hoped. Now, if you do a Google search this afternoon when you go home, or if you do it right now while you're sitting in the pew on your smartphone, on Old Testament laws, you'll come up to some websites and they will give you a listing of 613 Old Testament laws. Now, it got bigger than that as the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, all of those groups began adding to those rules and regulations. There are some odd ones in there. You know, the thing in our home is, if I use one of our kids as a sermon illustration, they now get $20, or $10, I guess it is. Well, there's one in there that says that if my daughter's unruly, I can sell her. That might be a good working deal, you know, because I'll bet I'd have to give her $10 now, but I bet I could, let me see, I've used her three times, so I'll bet I could probably sell her for more than $30 and I'd come out ahead. Don't even think of it. The old rules and regulations weren't working. I came upon this quote, and the source is unknown. I wonder why. You'll figure out. I passed my ethics exam. Naturally, I cheated. I passed my ethics exam. Naturally, I cheated. That seems perhaps to be more the way of the world today. Let's take a look at Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah gets a new message. He gets a text from God. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. A new covenant sounded good, because the word new always carries with it a promise of an improvement. God said to Jeremiah, it will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, 500 years of captivity. But it was a covenant that they broke. Even though I was their husband, says the Lord, this old covenant was a promise-based relationship that God entered into because of God's love for these people. The house of Israel, the house of Judah, a relationship that God had initiated on God's behalf because of God's love for them. God heard the Israelites groaning as slaves in Egypt. And so God decides to deliver them, to set them free, to bring them into the promised land. And so God then calls Moses to be in the midst of the people, to be the deliverer. And those first set of rules, a part of the covenant, Moses carried down on tablets of stone, the very laws of God. I will be your God and you will be my law-abiding people. Those were the terms of the old covenant. And they made clear that a relationship with God required obedience to the law. But the old covenant was not working. And so God made a new covenant with the house of Israel. And God says, I'm going to put my law in them. I'm going to put my law in them and I'm going to write it upon their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And suddenly now the ethics settings are changing. Ethics settings now written upon our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And when God readjusts our ethics settings, God writes the laws on our hearts, and suddenly our decisions are driven by knowing God and knowing God's way, a way that we see incredibly clear through the presence of Jesus Christ. And so now when we meet hungry people on the Sabbath or on any day for that matter, we feed them just as Jesus did. When we come upon people who are ill and unclean, we want to help them just as Jesus did. When we run into individuals who are strangers to us or foreigners to us, we sit down and talk with them just as Jesus did. And we discover that our true brother and sister and mother is the person who does the will of God just as Jesus did. Let's jump ahead to the gospel lesson this morning from John's gospel, chapter 12, verse 20. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival, there were some Greeks. And they came to Philip, who was from Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, The hour has come. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. For very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I do? Should I say, Father, save me from this hour? Well, no. It is for this hour that I have come. Father, glorify your name. Now, this little gem, this little story is unique to John's gospel. You can't find it in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Perhaps it's Jesus' way of reaching out to the multitudes that were outside of the synagogue, the congregations. Jesus knows that he's going to be dying very soon, and so he's beginning to talk about it. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. I brought my garden with me today. My whole garden right here. At least I hope it becomes my whole garden. And I'm really anxious about these seeds because they're heirloom seeds. There aren't any hybrids in here at all. So in theory, I can keep seeds and get what I had this year. Spinach, Shantani Royal Carrot. 1,200 seeds, incidentally, in this little packet. Detroit Dark Red Beet, California Wonder Pepper, Blue Lake Bush Beans. And hey, a lake's got to plant some lake bush beans. Got it. Come on. Golden Bantam Corn. And this packet, I was evidently getting a little happy when I was clicking, or it was getting late. You'll see why. Here's an heirloom salad blend, salad bowl, lettuce, butter king, lettuce, Amish deer tongue, lettuce, summer bib lettuce. I got a little heavy on the lettuce. So we're eating lots of salad at my house this summer. English lavender, not sure why I got that, but they're pretty. The bees will love those. Basil, French marigolds. I was told that marigolds will keep animals away, but you have to use heirloom ones, someone told me. So I found those. Pansies, simply because those are Leanna's favorites. But probably one I'm most excited about, I believe this is the same tomato that someone gave me years ago, and she called them Belgium Giants. These are called Giant Belgium Tomatoes, and they are the size of softballs, a little bigger, and they are the meatiest, most best-tasting tomatoes I've ever had. My problem was when I kept seeds the one year, I accidentally planted my Belgium Giants next to my little red cherry tomatoes. And so the next year I had Belgium cherry tomatoes. There's a lot of potential here, but it's not a potential if they stay in these packets. They're just dead. And Jesus talks about that seed must get to the ground and be nourished, and then it becomes indeed what it is created to be. And new life is offered when that seed gets put in the ground and is nourished and given sunlight and given water. And then it is changed. And when that seed is planted through the power and the presence of Almighty God, then it becomes that free gift to us that wells up as new life. I think it was last week I mentioned Barrington Bunny. It's about 4 pages, and I know we're getting close to your deadline. So in essence, Barrington Bunny is a little bunny that's hopping through the forest, and he's not the most attractive bunny. His ears don't always stand up the way they should, and they flop down, and he's a little miscolored. But you know, he is a bunny that he loves to hop, and he is furry, and he's warm. And bunnies love wintertime because they can hop, and then they get to turn around and see where they've just hopped from and their tracks in the snow. And so little Barrington Bunny, he decided one evening that he was going to go take a hop around the forest, and it happened to be Christmas Eve. And so Barrington goes hopping, and he turns around and looks at some of his footprints, and he's feeling a little bit of alone because he doesn't have a family, and he hears a noise up in the tree and realizes that it's the squirrel family. They're gathered together there, and they're celebrating Christmas Eve. And so Barrington taps on the bottom of the tree, and a squirrel comes out and says, "Hello, can I help you?" And Barrington says, "Are you celebrating Christmas Eve?" And the squirrel says, "Well, yes, we are." And Barrington says, "Can I come?" And the squirrel says, "Well, can you climb trees?" And Barrington said, "No, but I can hop, and I'm warm, and I'm furry." And the squirrel says, "But in order to come up here, you have to climb a tree." And Barrington says, "Oh, okay." And so Merry Christmas, and away Barrington goes. And he hops over to the pond, and there he hears the noise and the activity of the beaver family as they're in their hut and celebrating Christmas together. And so Barrington knocks on their door, and the grandfather beaver, he pops up through some open water in the ice, and he says, "Well, hello, how are you?" And Barrington says, Are you together with your family celebrating Christmas?" And the beaver says, "Well, yes." And Barrington says, "Can I come?" "Well, can you swim?" "Well, no," Barrington says, "I can't swim, but I can hop, and I'm warm, and I'm furry." And the beaver says, "Well, I'm sorry, but you have to swim in order to come to our house." And so the tears start coming to Barrington's eyes. And so Barrington leaves, and he's hopping along towards home, and he realizes that he hears some more noise, and it's the field mouses that are the mouse family. They're gathered together down in the ground, and Barrington raps and says, "Hello, are you celebrating Christmas together?" And they says, "Yes, we are." And says, "Can I come to your party?" And they said, "Well, can you fit in this tiny little hole and come join us?" And Barrington says, "Well, no, I think I'm too big, but I can hop, and I'm warm, and I'm furry." And the mouse says, "Well, I'm sorry." And so the tears begin to come down even more and more. And Barrington hops his way home. And he finally stops and he says, "What good is it being a bunny?" And so he sits there and he just sobs and cries and cries. And suddenly he's aware that he's not alone. And he looks up, and there he sees the great gray wolf. Eyes of fire, and the wolf stares and says, "Barrington, being a bunny is a good thing." And Barrington says, "Well, I'm of no value to anybody." And the wolf, the great silver wolf, says, "But Barrington, you can hop, and you are warm, and you are furry, and someday you will recognize the gift of being warm and being furry." And Barrington says, "But everybody else is celebrating with their family, and I don't have any family." And the great gray wolf says, "Barrington, everybody in the forest is your family." And Barrington blinks, and the great gray wolf is gone. And Barrington thinks, "Everybody in the forest is my family." And so Barrington hops off, and as he's hopping off, he's grabbing dry leaves and grass as much as he can, and he goes to the tree where the squirrels are, and he puts them at the bottom and protects them from the snow, and leaves a note that says, "A free gift from a member of your family." And then he's hopping along, and he finds the best stick that he can get, and he takes it to the beaver house. And again, he leaves a note, "A free gift from a member of your family." And then the snow starts coming in, and Barrington realizes that there's going to be a blizzard. And he keeps hopping, and he kind of loses his way. And all of a sudden, squeak, squeak. And he hears a baby field mouse that has gotten lost. And so Barrington hops over, because it's a good thing, because bunnies can hop when there's snow. And he goes to the little baby mouse, and the baby mouse says, "I'm afraid that I'm going to die." And Barrington says, "No, you're not going to die, because I'm here, and I'll be with you all night long. And bunnies can hop, but bunnies are warm and furry." And so Barrington positions himself right on top of the little mouse and huddles in. And Barrington he's thinking as he realizes he's getting sleepy, and he feels the heartbeat of the little mouse underneath him, that it's good that he's warm and it's good that he's furry. And so in the morning, the little mouse wakes up, still nestled in that warm fur of the carcass of Barrington Bunny. And his mom and dad, the family mice, they come and they find him. And everybody wonders throughout the day, who left that free gift? And yet the great silver wolf came. And he stood over Barrington's bunny for the whole day and said nothing. His presence was there. And then when evening came, he disappeared. The free gift that is planted within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, a new covenant offered to us by Jesus Christ. Friday, we took the confirmation class out of school and took them to the conference center, and one of the highlights was we got to sit in the bishop's office. I pray that's the only time I ever have to go to the bishop's office, is with the confirmation class. But when we were there, the bishop was saying to the kids as they were sitting together on the floor with the bishop, and he said, "You know, the world pushes and pulls us in many different directions and calls and challenges us to do things differently than in the life of the church." And the bishop said, "Let me tell you this, if you want to become big, you've got to become small. If you want to gain something, you need to give it all away. And if you want to become the greatest, then become a servant." Friends, may we allow that small seed, that new covenant, to receive life in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that we might become those servants that God has called us to be in this world today. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, seeds are planted within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And we pray, O God, that they might be nurtured, that they might take root, and that we might become that servant that you have created us to be within your kingdom, within your church, within our communities, wherever we are. For it's in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.